How many times have we seen an NBA prospect get hyped up and ultimately fail to reach the sometimes ridiculous expectations that we set for them? It happens often enough, and unfortunately, in most cases, the prospect isn't able to redirect and carve out a successful career in the NBA for themselves. I've said it innumerable times at this point. For 98% of the guys in the NBA, their situation dictates their success. They're simply not talented enough to reverse the fortunes of an organization, especially if that organization is a bad one. However, not every overhyped prospect falls flat. Look at someone like Andrew Wiggins, the quote-unquote next LeBron, failed to reach those expectations, but still, for his career, he's averaging about 19.5 points per game, and he was a valuable complement to Steph Curry this past season. Wiggins' NBA talent was never in doubt. He never had to go overseas. He never had a stint in the G League, and some of that is because, yes, he's super talented, but also he had the opportunity to showcase this talent. Some guys don't make a good first impression, and they're written off and forced to crawl through the mud just for a shot at redemption. That's the case with Cameron Payne, the point guard whom many Arizona natives have come to love. Payne's basketball career has more phases than David Bowie. Now, he's the beloved backup point guard for the Phoenix Suns, but before this, he was a misfit, a castaway, and an NBA journeyman. Before that, he was a standout at Murray State, and that came shortly after he spent his high school career as a pretty much unknown recruit coming out of Tennessee. There, he made little noise as a recruit. He was undersized, not reaching the 6-foot mark until his senior year, and attending a small private high school only limited him further. Still, Payne was abundantly talented, and that was clear by him leading his team to a state title in 2013. Unfortunately, bringing home a title didn't help Payne's recruiting. He was listed as a 2-star recruit by 247 Sports, and he fielded no offers from prestigious Division I programs. The battle for his services ultimately came down to Appalachian State, Arkansas State, Chattanooga, Jacksonville University, and Murray State. Payne ultimately decided on Murray State, a mid-sized university that was less than 3 hours from his hometown. At the time of Payne's enrollment, the Racers were looking to rebuild as that summer saw the departure of 4 starters, who collectively accounted for nearly 76% of Murray State's offense that past season. Additionally, Payne was expected to help fill the void left by Isaiah Cannon, the 2-time Ohio Valley Conference Player of the Year, who had scored more than 1,300 points over his final 2 seasons. In an unexpected twist, Payne wound up becoming the starter, but it wasn't because he outplayed his competition, it's because there was no competition. With Cannon gone, the obvious replacement was Zay Jackson, a rising sophomore who had spent the previous season as Cannon's backup. Unfortunately, Jackson tore his ACL before the season began, and he was ruled out for the entirety of the campaign. As one could expect, being thrust into the team's starting point guard role as a freshman doesn't make for the smoothest transition. Payne got off to a rough start, shooting 6 of 24 in the season opener against Valparaiso. He had several other nauseous shooting performances to start the campaign, including a 6 of 16, a 7 of 20, and a 3 of 12. In fact, over his first 12 games, Payne connected on 34.8% of his attempts. Being tossed into the fire early, however, forced Payne to develop at a rapid pace, and he recovered pretty gracefully from his early season slump, and he went on to finish with averages of about 17 points, nearly 5.5 assists, and almost 2 steals. He also raised his overall shooting percentage to 40.4, and Murray State compiled an impressive 23-11 record. The experience of playing through adversity was the biggest stepping stone in Payne's development, something that he admitted to NBC Sports' Rob Doster, saying, quote, "It helped my confidence a lot because you can make mistakes. There wasn't a backup point guard. When I made a mistake, I would play through it because I had to." As a sophomore, Payne ascended, reaching a level similar to that of Isaiah Cannon. He was significantly better across the board, posting a conference-leading scoring average of 20.2 points in addition to 6 assists and 1.9 steals, both of which were second on the Ohio Valley Conference leaderboards. His shooting improved markedly as well, with Payne eclipsing 45%, buoyed by a 37.7% clip from 3. The Racers leaned heavily on their Conference Player of the Year, and Payne steered them to a staggering 29-win season, the second most in school history. They also boasted an unblemished 16-0 record in conference play, something that had never happened at the university before. Despite the grand success, Murray State did not qualify for the NCAA tournament because they lost a heartbreaker to Belmont in the conference title game. With his stock at its highest, Payne entered his name into the NBA draft pool and was showered with praise from pretty much everybody, despite the fact that he was an undersized guard coming from a mid-major school. Of course, the meteoric rises of Damian Lillard and Steph Curry made the school you came from almost irrelevant. If you had game, you had game, and Payne had game. During the pre-draft process, he worked out with five lottery teams, during one of which he went on to fracture one of his fingers. The injury didn't really change anything, because shortly thereafter, it came out that Payne wouldn't require surgery and would be healthy for the upcoming season. Payne landed exactly where Draft Express had predicted, 14th overall to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I firmly believe that if this was a different class, Payne would have gone significantly higher. I mean, dude, just look at some of the names in this draft class. Karl Anthony Towns, Kristaps Porzingis, D'Angelo Russell, Jahlil Okafor, Emmanuel Mudiay, Stanley Johnson, Devin Booker, Justice Winslow. I know some of these guys are not household names in today's NBA, but in terms of prospects, this class was absolutely stacked. One of the most unique happenings in the NBA is when a lottery pick lands in the lap of a title contender. It doesn't happen that often because contending teams tend to not pick so early, but it happened with Payne. He joined a Thunder team led by Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, both of whom were just 27 years old at the time and only 3 seasons removed from an NBA Finals appearance. Much like the preseason before he attended Murray State, folks did not expect Cameron Payne to carve out a spot in this rotation. This time around, that prognosis turned out to be true, but Payne still had some eyebrow-raising performances despite his limited role. He cracked double-digit points 10 times, including 17 against the Spurs and 16 against the Milwaukee Bucks. On a per-36-minute basis, his numbers were quite modest as they were a little bit more than 14 points and a little bit more than 5 assists. I personally believe that Payne would have made a much more memorable first impression had he not gone to a title contender. Everything he showcased in college translated to the NBA. He just didn't have the appropriate stage to showcase it on. The summer following Payne's rookie season was monopolized by Kevin Durant's free agency. He ultimately decided to team up with Steph Curry in Golden State, and losing such a colossal talent pointed to the Thunder taking a step back. Consequently, some folks thought that this was the beginning of the Thunder's rebuild. That scenario had a spot for Payne to thrive, but 2 things happened. 1, Russell Westbrook went nuclear. And 2, Cameron Payne started dealing with injuries. Payne initially sustained a fracture in his right foot. Doctors operated successfully and cleared Payne for the start of the season. And then, what happens? He gets hurt after 2 days of practice, suffering the exact same injury. In total, Payne suited up for the Thunder 20 times that season and got traded to Chicago in February. Nobody knew it at the time, but Chicago was the place where Cameron Payne would turn into the NBA meme. Fast forward a few months to September of 2017. Teams are getting ready for training camps, for preseason, for the regular season, just for the season overall. News comes out of Chicago that Cameron Payne will be out for 3 to 4 months as he recovers from a right foot injury. Again, it was around this time that the now infamous picture of Cameron Payne wheeling himself around Bulls Media Day went viral. Fortunately, Payne sustained no setbacks and was able to debut later in the season for Chicago. In 25 games, he averaged a little bit less than 9 points and about 4.5 assists. Payne had proven over those 25 games that he could play in the NBA. It was just a matter of where, when, and what role would he occupy. It was also a matter of if he could stay healthy, and luckily, the 2018-19 season began without any hiccups for the former Murray State standout. He even managed to start 11 of Chicago's first 12 games as Chris Dunn recovered from an MCL sprain. Unfortunately, it wasn't Payne's most endearing performance. The team trudged to a 3-9 record in those initial 12 games, and they were just 10-29 when they waived Payne in January. Chicago's horrific play led to Payne being not so lovingly dubbed the Tank Commander, even though his numbers were nearly identical to the previous seasons when you adjust for the minutes decrease. Payne closed out that season on 2 10-day contracts with the Cleveland Cavaliers, where he appeared in 9 games and averaged about 20 minutes per night. Later on that summer, he went on to sign with the Toronto Raptors and nearly made the regular season roster, but unfortunately, he wound up being the last guy that Toronto cut. following his string of bad luck, Payne put his NBA aspirations on hold. He signed with the Shangji Longs of China's CBA in November of 2019, but that partnership only lasted a couple months because Payne got replaced by CBA legend Jamal Franklin. He then packed his bags and returned to America. After leaning on his parents for support, Payne retried his luck in the G League and had his most productive stint to date. Across 15 games with the Texas Legends, he averaged more than 23 points, about 8 assists, and almost 2.5 steals. Unfortunately, his run was cut short by COVID-19. In March, with the coronavirus running rampant throughout the United States, Adam Silver elected to suspend all NBA-related activities until further notice. I'm sure we all remember the uncertainty of not just basketball returning to normal, but the world returning to normal. As public health officials tried to figure out a way to quell the pandemic, Adam Silver was devising a plan to bring basketball back safely so that the league could crown a champion for the 2019-20 season. He ultimately decided on a bubble in Orlando. The league invited 22 teams down to Orlando who would play 8 regular season games before going into the postseason. One of the teams invited was the Phoenix Suns, who had signed Cameron Payne on June 30th. On the shoulders of Devin Booker, the Suns won a perfect 8-0 in bubble play, being statistically the best team in the bubble. And they secured impressive victories over the Sixers, the Heat, the Clippers, and the Mavericks, among others. Payne became an integral piece of Monty Williams' rotation, averaging a little bit less than 11 points a night and shooting about 49% from the field. He also featured a net rating of plus 23.1, the best mark on the team among players who averaged more than 20 minutes a night. Now, I know 8 games is a small sample size, but it's an undeniable fact that Cameron Payne had a positive impact on the Phoenix Suns, which is why they picked up his team option for 2020-2021. This past season, Payne again occupied a nice role off the bench for Phoenix, but he became even more vital as the year persisted. He averaged 19 minutes in 36 post-All-Star break games, and in May, his minutes rose again to 21. Through it all, Payne produced. He averaged 8.4 points and 3.6 assists for the year, both of which are modest numbers. However, there is a direct correlation between Payne's minutes increasing and his production increasing. Over Phoenix's final 10 games, Payne scored about 14 points in a little bit less than 22 minutes, and getting accustomed to those minutes would be vital for Phoenix's playoff run. Phoenix, who finished 51-21 overall, drew a first-round playoff meeting against the Los Angeles Lakers. Payne was the best option at backup point guard and averaged about 12.5 points in 23 minutes. Phoenix needed just 6 games to dispatch a depleted Lakers unit. In round 2, Payne's minutes dipped as Monty Williams began leaning heavily on his stars in the team's sweep of Denver. In the conference finals and in the NBA finals, Payne's minutes began to decrease more and more, which is pretty typical as coaches like to trim their rotation to 6 or 7 as they get deeper into the playoffs. However, against the Clippers, Payne did have to start 2 games as Chris Paul entered the league's health and safety protocols. And in those 2 games, he combined to score 40 points, 29 of which came in a decisive Game 2 victory. The Suns would beat the Clippers in the conference finals, but then lose to Milwaukee in the NBA finals. And for the postseason as a whole, Payne averaged 9.3 points and 3.2 assists. Admittedly, Payne's numbers this season with Phoenix were modest. They're not what you would expect from a lottery pick, and just glancing at them would lead you to believe that Payne is merely an average backup point guard, when in fact, that's far from the truth. There are 3 reasons why Cameron Payne is arguably the best backup point guard in the NBA. The first being that he is a lights out shooter from downtown. The second is that he's got a brilliant basketball IQ. And the third is that he can orchestrate the offense beautifully and reliably. I'm just going to give you guys some numbers real quick to elaborate on the situation. So Payne shot 44% on threes this season, the 10th best mark in the NBA. While it dropped to a still respectable 36.2% in the playoffs, Payne adjusted by shooting fewer threes. He attempted more on a nightly basis, but those 3.1 attempts accounted for less than 36% of his attempts overall, compared to 42% during the regular season. Now, in regards to his passing, few guards protected the ball as well as Payne. Among ball handlers who averaged more than 18 minutes a night and had an assist percentage of 25 or more, Payne had the 15th lowest turnover percentage with 12.5. This mark was better than Kyle Lowry, Trae Young, and Ricky Rubio, and he was less than 1 percentage point behind Steph Curry and Dame. Hello, viewers and listeners. This is Zach from the future, just jumping in to explain to you guys that I somehow managed to trim off the entire opening part of the upcoming clip where I explained how earlier this offseason the Phoenix Suns had re-signed Cameron Payne to a three-year deal worth $19 million, which was announced by Chris Haynes. Yeah, again, I somehow managed to totally just scrub that from the video. So that's me coming in to just clarify why the upcoming clip seems just so out of context. It was a steal for Phoenix, who likely got a little bit of a discount. Regardless, Payne not only proved that he belonged in the NBA, but that he can thrive in the NBA. And it's all because he was lucky enough to finally find a situation that allowed it. Thank you guys so much for coming to hang out with me today. If you could do me a favor, like the video if you liked it, leave a dislike if you didn't, and subscribe and hit the notification bell if you want to see more content just like this. Everything I'm associated with is linked in the description box below, and I'll see you guys in the next one.